We are continuing our series in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 5, Daniel chapter 5. Last week we had a great time at the park. If you had a great time at the park, eating fried chicken, can we put our hands together? That was a fun time. Thank you to all the volunteers that helped with that. Appreciate that. We are continuing this series, walking through the book of Daniel. And just to give you a little heads up, we will be covering chapter 6 next week and the week after. We're going to do that in two parts. And then Drew's going to be bringing a message Thanksgiving weekend about thankfulness and all of that. And so be there for that. And then we're going to be beginning our Advent series. You say, well, there's a whole nother section of Daniel. We're going to cover that next year. We're going to be covering all of the apocalyptic sections of Daniel. If you were waiting for that, you'll have to wait till next year. We'll be covering that as well as sections in Revelation and some of the apocalyptic sections in the Old Testament. And so be ready for that. We probably, just so you know, won't have charts and graphs and maps and timelines on the back wall. We'll be covering it from a biblical understanding and seeing the whole point of the story being Jesus. All right, so we got that out. You know when we're going to be covering all the weird sections from Daniel. All right. Today, we're looking at this idea, the faithful life. Everybody say that with me. The faithful life. So, Daniel chapter 5 is strange because we were introduced to the handwriting on the wall. And it's the end of the kingdom. It's the end of the Babylonian Empire as we know it. Belshazzar, who is King Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, has taken over, and he is in charge. And we saw from a couple weeks ago, he brought out all of the holy items from the temple that were brought back from Israel to Babylon. And he gets drunk, and he gets drunk in front of 1,000 people, in front of his wives and his concubines. And this handwriting just shows up on the wall, "Mene, Mene," and basically it helps him to see, you are in need and lacking and in want. And so we were introduced to this whole story, and it was a hard message. It was a harsh message because it's this idea that many of us, if we're not careful, deal with willful blindness. Willful blindness. Today we're going to really focus in on Daniel because we're coming to the end of Daniel's life. Daniel chapter 6, we're going to get to the famous story, Daniel in the lion's den. But at this point in Daniel chapter 5, a lot of time has gone by. A ton of time has gone by. So much so that Daniel is now in his 80s. So he was taken to Babylon somewhere around the time when he turned 14 or 15. And some people believe at the writing of Daniel chapter 5, he's in his mid-80s. He's 84, 85 years old. Some 70 years has gone by. And we saw this interaction between the queen and Belshazzar, and she said, hey, there is a man. There's a man in Babylon who can tell you what these words mean. And she was speaking of Daniel, and he doesn't really know who Daniel is. He forgets him. And so this is important because this text helps us to see what a faithful life looks like. I don't know about you, but I don't know how old you are. I'm 41, and I came to faith when I was 9 years of age. It was at Hoosier Hills Baptist Camp in Dillsboro, Indiana. It was 7 seats over on the boys' side. There was a boys' side and a girls' side, right? Because we can't learn about Jesus if we're sitting next to the opposite sex, especially at that age. And so I remember during the message, being 7 rows back, 7 seats over, hearing the gospel of Jesus. And before the sermon was over, before there was an altar call, before there was an opportunity to receive Jesus, before there was even an encouragement to do that, I felt the Spirit of God speak to me and say, you need to confess your sins. And I did right there in my seat. And asked Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. You say, why did you tell that story? Because this week, as I studied this passage, I thought, I might just have the opportunity in the same way that Daniel did, to be able to look back and say, there was 70 years of walking with Jesus. There were 70 years of walking with him. Now, some of you, that may be not your story. Maybe you got saved later in life, and whatever that is for you, whatever that story is for you, we hope to get to the end of our life and be in the presence of Jesus and hear him say what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. We hope to stand in his presence and hear that because we have faithfully walked with him. Not for our acceptance, but from our acceptance. You see, we don't get into heaven because we prayed a lot. We don't get into heaven because we showed up at church a lot. We don't get into heaven because we did all the right things. We get into heaven because Jesus' life is our life. Because we have confessed our sins before God, and we, rather than trusting in ourselves, trust in the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, that his life is accounted to being our life, that we have put our faith and trust in him. And once that faith journey begins, we begin this journey of following Jesus, of living the faithful life. I want you to think about this for just a moment. When you think of the word faithful, what comes to mind for you? When you think of the word faithful, what comes to mind for you? And then the second question is, who comes to mind? Who comes to mind? What comes to mind? But who comes to mind? If you're taking notes this morning, if you're writing something down, if you're not, grab your phone, grab a notes app, grab something, and I want you to write the answer down to those two questions. What comes to mind when you think about the word faithfulness, but who comes to mind? You got something or someone in mind? I think Daniel is a picture of faithfulness. 70 years of faithfully following God in the midst of a godless secular society. I think it's a timely message for us because we feel as though we live in this godless secular society that we call the United States of America. That we wish felt more like the Christian nation that we were taught about maybe in history that our country used to be founded on. We long for those days, but the reality is those days probably are not coming back. So what does it look like for us to live in faithfulness? A little bit of background, if you haven't been with us in this study around the book of Daniel, you say, how did the people of God end up here? Well, the book of Jeremiah helps us to understand this. Listen to these words from Jeremiah 25, verse 8 through 9. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send for all the tribes of the north, declares the Lord, and for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all these surrounding nations. I will devote them to destruction and make them a horror, a hissing, and an everlasting desolation. You see, God's people had chose unfaithfulness, and the result of that unfaithfulness was captivity. So that's where we find ourselves. That's the context of the book of Daniel, is God's people have been placed in captivity. But I want you to notice that Jeremiah, using the words from God, says that Nebuchadnezzar was his servant. You see, God will use all kinds of things in all kinds of ways in your life and my life to bring us back to faithfulness. You see, God uses a variety of means to bring about his purposes. He uses a ruthless leader in a pagan nation to be his servant. God punished his people for disobedience, and they were exiled. Their homes are destroyed, the temple's destroyed. But not all was lost. Because it's during this difficult time that God uses the prophet Jeremiah and he uses Daniel to help lead his people back to God. So God uses even the worst day to bring his people back to himself. This should be good news for you and me. God is willing to use anything and everything in your life to bring you to himself. And some of you need to hear this because you're experiencing crisis and despair and discouragement, and you need to understand that God wants to use that to develop faithfulness in your life and not faithlessness. God wants to develop this faithful life in you. And Daniel shows us what the faithful life looks like. What 70 years of faithfulness looks like. So let's dig into Daniel chapter 5 this morning. We're not going to read the entire text this morning, but we're going to highlight several verses because we taught a couple weeks ago the entire chapter of Daniel chapter 5. If you look at Daniel chapter 5, verse number 10. It says, "The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banqueting hall, and the queen declared, 'O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you or your color change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and astrologers, because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, solve problems were found in this Daniel." You see, Daniel shows us the faithful life. And the faithful life, you can write this down, the big idea for today is this: the faithful life is fueled by the life of Christ. And our first thing that we need to see is we must be faithful in obscurity. Faithful in obscurity. We've already said this, from 15 to 85 years of age, he has served God with faithfulness. But what's interesting is the time gap between chapter 4 and chapter 5 is 20 plus years. So much so that people have forgotten who Daniel is. You see, it's one thing to be faithful when you stand on this stage. It's one thing to be faithful when you serve in a public platform. It's a whole other thing to be faithful when no one sees it. He's faithful in obscurity. No one's remembering him. Everyone has forgotten him. You see, it's easy to do something when we are noticed for the thing that we do. But what happens when you're not noticed? What happens when we fall out of favor with those in charge? What happens when we're not noticed? You see, there's been a shift in power from Nebuchadnezzar to now his grandson, Belshazzar. 20 plus years. To the point where when that king, when he experiences something crazy like the handwriting on the wall, he has to be told to remember Daniel. He's been forgotten. And yet he has faithfully followed God. He's being faithful in obscurity. The queen has to remind him of this person. She was around in the days when Daniel would interpret dreams. She was around when Daniel was there and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into the fire. She remembers that. She remembers when Daniel came in and he gave a word to the king. She remembers that. But everyone else had forgotten. And yet Daniel was faithful in obscurity. She reminds the king of the faithful man who has been being faithful. It seems as though he's been forgotten. You know, some people call you only when you need something. They need something from you. Anybody been like that? Anybody got a friend like that? They only call you when they need something. Can we be honest this morning? Anybody got friends like that? Right? Maybe they're here. That's why you didn't raise your hand, okay? As soon as they don't need you, they have nothing to do with you. Daniel seems to have been that kind of person for the people in Babylon. They haven't needed him for the last couple decades, and now they're calling him up from the bullpen. Hey, we need this guy who can do this. Some of you are here today, and you feel as though, as a follower of Jesus, your faithfulness to him has been forgotten. You feel as though you're in obscurity. Maybe it's your job. People used to know that you knew Jesus, but people have forgotten that. People have forgotten that God has worked in your life. And they've forgotten the ways that you prayed for them. They've forgotten the ways that you cared for them. And you're beginning to get weary in being faithful in obscurity. And Daniel says, he shows us, don't lose heart. Be faithful. Be faithful even in obscurity. This is incredibly important as followers of Jesus in the culture that we live in. We already mentioned this, but more and more people are hostile to the Christian faith. More and more people are hostile to what you believe. More and more people are willing to go the extra mile to see you get fired for sharing your faith. More and more people are willing to go the extra mile to make sure you don't get promoted. The question is, how should we respond to this? How do we respond to a culture that considers God and the church irrelevant? The answer is we speak the truth in love to the world that's blinded by darkness. That's what Daniel does. Every time he's called up from the bullpen, from the time he's 15 years of age to the time he's in his mid-80s, he brings glory and honor and faithfulness to the Most High God. Whether he's in a position of prominence or a position of obscurity, he's willing to point to the one who has the solutions. You see, our job is to serve God faithfully and to be a witness for him, just as Daniel was in an ungodly world. I love the example of Daniel because it shows us faithfulness not just from the position of influence, but from the place of obscurity. I love this because it reminds me of the Apostle Paul's words in Philippians 1:6. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Several months back, Jessica and I, we were at a concert. We were at Maverick City concert with Kirk Franklin. It was crazy. It was awesome. In the Capital One Arena. And we were one of a handful of white people there. It was amazing. And we had a great time worshiping Jesus. It was awesome. But one of the people who shared at that was a guy named Anthony Evans. You may not be familiar with him, but his dad is Tony Evans. If you're not familiar with Tony Evans, look it up. He's a faithful Bible teacher. I love him. But Anthony told the story. His sister, you may not know this, is Priscilla Schreier. That's an awesome powerhouse family. Anthony Evans and Priscilla Schreier all came from the same house. And godly parents. And a friend of mine named Rob is doing an interview with Tony. It's going to be coming out in the next year about legacy. It's a podcast going to be about him. You should check that out. But Anthony told this story at the concert about having traveled around the world and sang and led bands and led worship and all of this. And he got to the place where he said, I was just done. I was done walking with Jesus and following Jesus. And he said, I knew that I couldn't quit until I visited my dad and told him I was done. So he said, I booked a plane ticket and I flew and went to meet my dad and went into his office. He said, I scheduled a time. That's how serious it was. He called the office and scheduled a time to meet with his dad. Went in. He said, I knew if I went to the house, I'd just chicken out. So I scheduled a time, went into the office. And he said, for 30 minutes, I complained to my dad about how awful my life was and how terrible it was and how I was just done. I was done walking with Jesus. I was done being faithful to Jesus. And my dad just listened to me. He said, the Tony Evans, sitting across his desk. Just listen to me for 30 minutes, complain. And he said, when I got done complaining, he said, he looked at me and said, are you done? And he said, I talked for another 5 or 10 more minutes. And after those 5 or 10 minutes, he's like, I started to slow down. And Anthony said, my dad, when I slowed down, he said, are you done? And he said, yeah, I'm done. I'm done complaining. He's like, what are some thoughts that you have for me, Dad? He said, I just have one. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He said, are you dead? He's like, no, I'm sitting here in front of you, Dad. He's not done. If you're not dead, he's not done. When we find ourselves in these moments of obscurity, that's what we have to remember. We have to remember that if we're not dead, he's not done. That if we're in obscurity, that he's developing patience and perseverance for us in the midst of this. Imagine if Daniel, for the last 20 years of silence in obscurity, had just went ahead and decided to live like the Babylonians. When the moment when he needed to stand up and speak truth to Belshazzar and tell him what God had said through the handwriting on the wall, he would not have been ready. He was faithful in obscurity. Number two, be faithful in adversity. How do we live this faithful life? We're faithful in obscurity. We're faithful in adversity. Look at verse number 13. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, you are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought from Judah. Now, there's something subtle happening here. He's not saying you're that Daniel, all that Daniel who read all of the things that were written to my father, who told all the dreams, who saw the lion or who saw the fiery furnace and all of that. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you're that Daniel. You're from that group that my dad conquered. You see what he's doing? He's putting him down. It's a put down. He's facing adversity. Can you imagine after 20 years not standing in front of the king, and now you're standing in front of the king and you're like, I got my opportunity. I got my shot. I got my shot back, right? It's like Hamilton, right? He's not going to miss his shot, right? And so he's coming in, he's stepping in, and he does what? He gets put down. He gets put down. He says, oh, you're that guy. You're that guy who I conquered. You see, Belshazzar does not address Daniel as the one whom his father had made chief of his wise men. He says, you're one of the exiles of Judah. You're a slave. You're put down. He's been trying to live faithfully in an ungodly world, and rather than being elevated, he's put down. You see, every time God solves a problem and walks us through the valley or stands us up in the midst of the valley, we have an opportunity to grow a little bit more like Daniel, to grow in our faithfulness towards God. Some of you are experiencing adversity, and your first reaction is, why is God doing this to me? Your first reaction is the victim mentality. And Daniel doesn't even respond to this. He doesn't even respond to this put down. He responds in faithfulness to God. He responds by giving a testimony of who God is by solving the riddle, because God gave him the supernatural ability to do that. You see, some of us are struggling with faithfulness in adversity because we want to be seen as right. We want to be seen as honorable. We want to be seen as the person in charge. We want to be seen as the person who's got all the answers. And Daniel is faithful even in adversity, but not even responding to this. I love this. The lens of faith is the key. How you live in obscurity for 20 years. It's faith in God. It's faith in God of saying, if God brought us into Babylonian captivity and took care of us, why wouldn't he take care of me now at the end of this empire? If God showed up in his faithfulness in my marriage when things were falling apart, why would he not show up in my marriage when things are going good? If God took care of me and saved me and healed me in this situation, why wouldn't he want to do that now? You see, it's the difference between an abundance mentality and a scarcity mentality. The scarcity mentality says, man, God deserves to give me something. But faithfulness to God in adversity comes from an abundance mentality that says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Every opportunity that I'm given is coming from him. One author wrote this: when bad things happen, we have a choice to make. Are we going to interpret and respond to our current circumstances through the lens of faith, or are we going to interpret our God through the lens of our current reality? Consider the early church. Think about this through the lens of the early church. Most of the disciples were beaten, imprisoned, killed for serving Jesus. And yet, many of us complain when we take time out of our busy schedules to simply help or share our lives with someone. We want to fellowship with other people, but only on our own terms. We don't want to share the adversity that we're experiencing because we want everybody to see that we got everything together. And Daniel, whether it was in abundance, by being in charge, second in charge, third in charge, or whether it's being completely forgotten and being put down and in a place of adversity, he's faithful. He's faithful. You see, Daniel shows us what it looks like to serve God and be a witness and to live for him faithfully. Now, I want to show you something really quick from the book of Ecclesiastes because I think it helps us understand how to live this life of faith in adversity. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 13 through 14 says this: consider the work of God who can make straight what he has made crooked. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, and in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. I was at a conference this last week, and there was one of the pastors who taught from this passage, and he put it this way. His name's John. You can write it down. I did not say this. This is a quote from him, okay? John Manser, you can write this down. He said this: God made bad days too. God made bad days too. The way that we remain faithful in adversity is to remember that God made bad days too. God made the crooked day, right? He made the good day. He made those days, and it's easy for us to be like, praise God, I had a great day. But it's very hard for us to remain faithful like Daniel and be like, man, I had a really bad day. I got put down today. I got told I was in exile today. I got told, you know, you don't have any place here. I don't know why you're here. You're not that important. And faithfulness is fueled by this idea that God made bad days too. He made bad days too. We can be faithful in adversity by remembering that bad days are made by God too. Number three. So we are to be faithful in obscurity, faithful in adversity, but faithful without reward. Let's look at verse 14. Verse 14, I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men and the enchanters have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not show the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself. I love this. It's like a mic drop moment. But there's actually something very, very important going on in this statement that Daniel makes. Because motivation really does matter. You see, if you are being faithful so that God would love you more, you miss the point. If you are being faithful because somehow you'll be seen as one of God's choice servants, you've missed the point. You see, faithfulness is about being faithful without reward, but what's crazy about the reward is we'll get them if we do it from the right motivation. The Bible tells us over and over, particularly in places like Revelation and places like the Pauline epistles, that we will one day be rewarded for those things done in faith. We'll be rewarded for these things. We see this in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about this reward for those who remained faithful. But it's not because they were faithful. It's because God rewards, celebrates his work in your life. He is worthy of all worship and glory and honor, and he's worthy of everything, so much so that he's willing to work through you so that he is glorified. John Piper puts it this way: God is most satisfied in us when we are most satisfied in him. What is that? That's when I am faithful towards him, desiring him, loving him. That's the way he receives the most glory. Daniel understands this principle, and so in the midst of obscurity, in the midst of adversity, he is not willing to allow his faith to be compromised by desiring the reward over the rewarder. That's why he's willing to set aside the reward. And you know what's crazy? At the end of this text, what does he get? He gets the robe, he gets the chain, and he gets the position. Now here's the hard part about the position. That night, the kingdom is done. It's like becoming the CEO of a company during a recession, right? And the company folding. Great, you were the CEO when the company folded. This is the situation that Daniel finds himself in. You see, those are the things the world knows. Those pieces of possession, position, and power. That's what he's offering him. Possessions, position, and power. But he understands that those aren't the things that run in God's economy. Daniel refuses the king's rewards, and he responds in the way that was not what the king expected. The question is, would you refuse power? Would you refuse honor? Would you turn down gifts, knowing that God is your reward? We're faced with this all the time. It's not in terms of purple robes and gold chains, but it's the 70-year of faithfulness thing. You see, God offers us himself every morning. And here's what the Word of God says. It says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And yet we pass up that reward every morning to be rewarded by the dopamine hit from this. Rewarded by the news, rewarded by the social media, rewarded by the DM, the instant message, when he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We're faced with this every day. Are we going to accept his reward, receive his reward, or the rewards that the world has to offer us? Faithfulness to God chooses his rewards. The Word of God speaks about this in other places. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus. You see, how do you go from 14 or 15 to 85 faithfully following him, you realize that he's the reward. He's the reward. Not the pat on the back from your small group leader or your pastor or your wife or your husband, but from God. And you'll know that that's the case when you stand in his presence and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." At that moment, there's no do-over. That's how serious this is. At this moment in Daniel's life, there's no do-over. He can't fake it till he makes it in this moment. Either his faith is genuine or it's not. To be faithful in obscurity, faithful in adversity, and faithful without reward. But the question is, how? How do we do this? Our last point is this: be faithful like Jesus. Now, if you're like me and you read through Daniel chapter 5 like we did a couple weeks ago, you're like, the name Jesus isn't mentioned here. Jesus isn't here, Jamie. It's the Old Testament. Don't you know that? He's there. And I want to show it to you. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 11, is actually a picture forward of Jesus. It says, in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. Now, what's interesting is if you know anything about the Bible, there, particularly in the Old Testament, specific characters in the Old Testament, they point backward and they point forward. Daniel's story is interesting because it does both. He points backward to the faithfulness and the life of a guy named Joseph. Joseph was filled with light and wisdom and understanding. You can see this in passages found in Genesis. But particularly, his life points forward to the life of Jesus. You can see this in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Speaking about our Lord and Savior, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." So Daniel's life is described in the same way that the prophet Isaiah describes the life of Jesus. So you have one exile in the life of Daniel pointing to another exile in the person and work of Jesus. This is beautiful. It sounds familiar because Daniel's life is an echo, a pointing forward of the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me," similar to the way that God had anointed Daniel for such a time as this that he lived in. Later, we're not surprised to hear his enemies admit, "No one ever spoke like this," John chapter 7, verse 46. This is the same description used about Daniel. Right? "You know these things and are able to interpret these dreams and do these things like no one else can." You see, Daniel typifies in our text the coming Messiah, that he would be a person of wisdom and understanding and counsel and strength and knowledge. See, Daniel's wisdom came from God. Daniel is faithful because his life is fueled by God. And you and I can be faithful when our lives are fueled by the life of Christ. As a mediator of God's wisdom and strength, his life looks forward, Daniel's does, to the ultimate mediator between God and humanity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul calls this the wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians 1:24. He calls this all are the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What is this? This is Jesus. This is who he is. He calls us to live this life too. Now, as we close, if you think about this life of faithfulness and obscurity and adversity without reward and fueled by the life of Christ, if you're like me, you look at your life and you don't see that. You see the faithlessness in your life. You laugh a little bit inside and you say, Jamie, is this really the life I'm supposed to live? 15 to 85, living faithful to God? Maybe you're here and you'd say, rather than calling myself a faithful person, I would call myself a failure. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I don't understand how this fits because that kind of life is not the life that my life is really marked by. You say, I desire to be faithful. I want to be a faithful spouse. I want to be a faithful parent. I desire to be faithful in ministry, in my local church, and at my job, and in my friendships. The reality is all of us want to be faithful in some place. And yet, we're losing strength. We might feel like we're at the end of our rope, similar to the way that Daniel might have felt after 20 years of living in silence. You say, this isn't really all that encouraging, Jamie. Why are you closing and landing the plane on a discouraging note? I want to remind you of a text in 2 Timothy 2:13. Scriptures tell us that if we are faithless, He is faithful. To faithfully live the life of Christ is to embrace the truth that if we are faithless, He is faithful. Now, I want to encourage you to go read that text, 2 Timothy 2:13, and see the verses around it because it tells us where the strength to remain faithful like Daniel was comes from. It says that He died for us. He was risen for us. And if we have died in His death, we will also rise with Him. What's he saying? The life of faith comes from putting your faith in one place, specifically in one person, namely Jesus. Paul doesn't say don't worry about failing. He says that when you are faithless, He remains faithful. The root of most of our failure is our lack of faith and trust in Him. So this week, when you go to your job, this week, when you go to your school, when you go to do whatever recreation that you're into, this week when you play with your friends' kids, this week when you're drawing, draw your attention to the perfect Savior who fuels the life of Daniel to live the life of faith. You might be here and you're feeling forgotten. Look to Jesus. You might be here and facing adversity. Look to Jesus because He made bad days too. You might be here and thinking, man, it'd sure be nice to have some rewards. It'd be nice to have a new house, wouldn't it, Sarah? It'd be nice. Look to Jesus. It might be nice to get to the end of your life and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. How's that happen? It's in your faithfulness and faithlessness, resting and trusting in the perfect life of Jesus. Let's pray.